1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Steve Kathan. The U.S. Supreme Court hearing arguments in a case that could shake up the election landscape.
The case centers around the role state courts play in deciding federal election rules. David Thompson is the attorney for the state lawmakers and says the state constitution has no role to play
in terms of imposing substantive limits on the exercise of that federal function. That is our position.
This is known as the independent legislature theory. Neil Katyal represents some of the opponents.
Frankly, I'm not sure I've ever come across a theory in this court that would invalidate more state constitutional clauses as being federally unconstitutional.
If SCOTUS decides to uphold the theory, it will deem state courts and constitutions powerless and will allow state legislatures only to regulate federal elections. Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
Democratic incumbent Raphael Warnock won Georgia's Senate runoff, and Majority Leader Chuck Schumer celebrates.
The people of Georgia are better off. Democratic Senate caucus is better off. And America is better off because he ran and won.
The Justice Department's Inspector General says six Bureau of Prisons workers should be disciplined over the mistakes that preceded the 2018 beating death of Boston gangster Whitey Bulger behind bars. Could be just a matter of hours now before the power's back on for tens of thousands in Moore County, North Carolina, days after two substations were shot up. Jeff Brooks of Duke Energy.
We've got all of that equipment in place now. What we're doing now is the final testing and preparing to synchronize that equipment to the electric grid so that we can begin bringing customers on this evening.
In California, many hospitals are struggling to find beds for patients suffering because so many cases of COVID, flu, and RSV.
We've never seen it this bad, not even during COVID.
Dr. Yvonne Maldonado, professor of infectious diseases at Stanford, says some hospitals are so desperate for beds, they are considering canceling elective surgeries.
We will stop them if we have to, but we don't want to go back to that. At our institution, we're having record numbers of children in the emergency department for respiratory disease, as well as adults.
In some parts of California, pediatric ICU capacity is below 12% due to a surge in cases of COVID, RSV, and the flu. Matt Bigler for CBS News, San Francisco.
Overseas, thousands of German police officers carried out raids, arresting 25 suspected far-right extremists who were allegedly plotting a coup. Time magazine's Person of the Year stood up to a Russian invasion.
We are ready for peace, true, honest and fair peace.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Wall Street's right now, the Dow is up 20 points. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for healthcare can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. A very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 866-88-BIBLE. That's 866-88-BIBLE. 866-88-BIBLE.
If you're an area employer, the next 30 seconds can be key to your growth and success. On-the-job training programs are available right now to assist with selection and cost to that new employee your business needs. Reimbursement for training costs, customized training plans to fit your needs, and continuous support when you need it. You hire, you train, we help pay. The first step is to contact us. Call the Wisconsin Rapids Job Center at 715-422-5000 and ask about on-the-job training programs for area employers. We'll help you build the workforce you need.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The City of Wausau formed an agreement with developers known as River Life Condos LLC in 2020 when they promised to build a multi-unit condo complex and an amphitheater on a plot of land in the city. Now the city is looking to end the housing agreement after multiple changes and delays to the plan have dimmed excitement for the project. A third amendment to the project would have given the developers until November 1st to purchase the land necessary. They did not meet that requirement, so the city's Economic Development Committee is pushing to end the agreement. Another Republican has announced their race for the 8th Senate District seat due to the retirement of Senator Alberta Darling. Thanesville Village President Van Mobley is the fourth Republican jumping into the race. He joins Representatives Janelle Brantgen and Dan Knodel, as well as Concordia student Robert Albrightson. No Democratic candidates have stepped forward yet. The primary will be held on February 21st. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of scattered snow showers this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 32, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 15, tonight mainly clear skies. Overcast skies, tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you for joining us during the lunch hour. As always, you can join the conversation 844-967-2789. And a reminder that if you like our show, tell your friends about it. We're growing. We want more people to be part of the conversation. And we can only do that if you share how much you love this show with everyone in your life. Greg seems very excited that we played that song.
Could leave right now happy.
So he's a trumpeter?
He's a flugelhorn player. Get it right.
Oh, sorry.
That is Chuck Mangione. His phenomenal track Feels So Good off the album of the same name, which was, by the way, 45 years ago, released tomorrow.
Wow, that's some trivia for you. Why do I know that song?
Because you've heard it in every elevator, every doctor's office, dentist's office.
I feel like it's like a TV show theme song.
I'm going to ask Jane when we go to break, can you play it like further down the track? Because I feel like you're going to recognize it more because that's the intro.
Okay.
I recognize it,
but I feel like I saw it in like a TV show or like a
movie. The meat of the tune happens like in like minutes 4 to 6.
How long is this song?
I think it's like 8 minutes long.
Yeah, it's like 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Back in the day when you could have a 9-minute song on the radio and play arenas on a flugelhorn.
That's so the DJs could go to the bathroom.
Exactly.
There you go.
But can we call this then the Feel So Good Hour? I don't know if we're going to talk about Feel So Good.
Well, the next topic is not so feeling good. That's not a real sentence. But should you, with the advent of Ring cameras, mm-hmm, and all of these new devices for security.
Yep.
Ultimately, you on your property can now feasibly film your neighbors.
Yeah.
Should we be able to do that?
I don't think so. And this is someone who owns a Ring camera system.
Can you see, because Ring is more the doorbell, it's largely what I understand. I don't even know if we have a Ring, but it is to be able to see when packages get delivered or someone's like on your doorstep and you can see who it is. And so I guess feasibly you can see the house across the street, but it's mostly just pointing right at your door, right?
But I also have Ring. I have a garage. I have a camera over my garage and on my back porch too.
Okay, so you do have one in your backyard.
So I can only see my back porch. On my Ring, on my garage, I can see across the street as well, a little diagonally. And then on my Ring doorbell, I can see across the street as well. I think you shouldn't be able to surveil your neighbors with a, I guess, like if I went to someone's house, be like, hey, I'm like looking at my neighbors. That's not cool. If I'm just, if the line of sight is happening, then there's nothing I can do, but I can't like.
And it's interesting, like, how would you, because so basically the reason why we're bringing this up is in Brookfield.
We are sponsored by Ring.
Yes, exactly. That too. So in Brookfield, there was recently a proposal that was trying to curb this. Yeah. And it was rejected. So there was a rejection of a recently proposed ordinance. Means that as for now, it's still legal for Brookfield residents to record their neighbors' homes with security cameras. And so there's been multiple complaints in Brookfield.
Yeah.
And it was brought by Alderman Mike Hallquist trying to say you should not, because of privacy, you should not be able to record your neighbor's backyard while their kids are swimming, which I agree with.
But does that mean then you can record your neighbor's backyard when there's adults back there? I mean, to me, it just should be like, don't point a camera at your backyard or your neighbor. Like, you shouldn't be able to just have... With my Ring system, there is just spillover of my neighbors. I just can see them. I shouldn't be able to point a camera directly with the purpose of only viewing them. To me, that's an invasion of privacy.
Yeah. And so this is what the ordinance, so had it passed, the surveillance ordinance would have been restricted to the how you place your recording devices. It's not saying you can't have them.
Yeah.
It's saying that they need to be, when they're pointed toward a neighboring property. And so it would have allowed common devices like a Ring camera, but it would have basically like prevented individuals from like placing the devices that would record the neighbor's backyards, homes, or like windows, which I don't know, but I guess it's also like, because what is considered public? Because you can film people in public, right?
You need to get their consent if you put it out there, though. That's why, like, when you watch these TV shows, they interview people, man on the street, you got to get their consent.
But this goes back to our initial conversation today, which was TikTok. It's like, I feel like when people are filming people on, like, the subway, and they just post it, and... can they get in trouble for posting that?
I mean, if someone filmed me, I could go and be like, hey, dude, you film me, take it off. I mean, he can be like, no. And then I have to take it into my hands to do something about it. Most people aren't going to because they don't have the money or the time. But, I mean, when it comes, I mean, that's to me, like, it's not a different discussion, but that's a whole other part of the discussion. But as far as home security system pointed at my house, no. No, you can't. Sorry. There's no reason for you to be able to do that. That's not fair. That's creepy.
And why? Yeah, and I guess it's the point of like, why is this happening in the first place? Like, what is the argument of the homeowners that are pointing
they
security
want to feel
cameras?
Safe, man.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, because it's Brookfield. Brookfield people don't know how to like just deal with their problems. They think everyone's trying to invade their thing. They probably think TikTok lives next door to them.
Oh God, calm down.
I can say that my mom lives there.
But it's just surprising to me because to me this feels like a obvious, you can record your doorstep, your backyard, like the entryways into your house for security purposes. Why on earth do you need a security camera pointed at your neighbor's yard or inside of their house? So I don't know why this, I don't understand why it was rejected and it failed in the City Council of Brookfield.
I'm going to say a word, and it's not truly not a joke. Freedom. I mean,
is that what it comes down to? It's like you're infringing on people's freedoms to have security cameras on their house to point at their neighbors.
To me, and I apologize before and after the fact. I just insulted the great village and town of Brookfield.
Is it a town or a village?
It's both.
It's both.
It's both.
Oh, right. Think
just like Pewaukee.
Didn't know that either.
They rock too. Two. Electric Boogaloo. Those areas are very conservative, and conservatives tend to always like trumpet or cornet freedom about freedom for freedom's sake and freedom and all over my freedom. And if you try to tell someone in Brookfield or any sort of area in Waukesha County that they can't do something with regard to their freedom and or safety, they're going to raise a stink. And it's probably just, I mean, I don't know if it said anything in the article about if there were people there like screaming and yelling, don't take away my freedoms to freedom, my security freedoms, all my freedoms. But that doesn't surprise me that it didn't go through because people are going to, and people are with no reason are scared of nothing.
Well, it sounds like at the very end of the article, this is in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, doubts about enforceability and whether it is the city's place to make the change is what caused the ordinance to fail.
I think you can have,
which I think is legit.
I think it's legit to a point. I think you can have the ordinance in place, and then if, say, I am the neighbor, like you are my neighbor, and you're filling my backyard, and I find out, and I somehow get proof, I should be able to report it to the police, and there should be consequences for that. It might be hard to enforce, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't have something in place. It's like when people are talking about gun reform, like, well, it's not going to work. Well, then why? But we can still try to do something to help people. And if this little thing that, you know, someone's saying, like, this person is filming my backyard and I have children and I don't want that, my local government should be there to help me to protect my freedom and my children and my safety. Because I don't know what, like, because the thing is, just because the person's filming me doesn't mean that person has the best in mind. For all I know, they're filming me for nefarious reasons. I have no idea, but they shouldn't be able to do that. That's creepy, weird, gross. Choose your word. I don't like it. Full of opinions today, folks.
Well, and the fact that they had neighbors that moved because they were so uncomfortable by this.
Yeah,
I mean, is that incumbent now on the real estate agent to point out when the house is up for sale? Oh, by the way, our neighbor likes to film your backyard.
No, they won't tell them that.
They definitely will not be telling them that. Yeah. But
they won't tell you when there are murders there.
But it is interesting of, like, what level of government is responsible for this? Because I think of in the, like, at what level, because we were talking about it, because of the Elon Musk.
It's my favorite kind of ice cream. I love a good Elon Musk.
That happened on Twitter, which on Friday night, which was the, you know, Hunter Biden pornography that was breaking the first amendment in the Constitution as far as Twitter not posting that during the 2020 election.
I like to call it Schmeckelgate.
But, but the idea that, you know, because there are now laws in place of unsolicited dick pics being sent, and you can't.
Can we say that in the air?
I think so.
I'm going to say that like every show now.
And so it's like, at what level of government is responsible for protecting people's privacy? And maybe it's not the like city council. Maybe it's a state thing. Maybe the fact that it's been introduced, it will be raised to a higher level of government that is their place. But it does feel weird that you are legally allowed to film your neighbors.
It to me sounds like a place. What you do is a good old thing you call start somewhere.
Well, I think, yeah, I don't know. It's certainly not. I'm also trying to think of in the time that anyone has to then go and watch, like having that much footage.
Oh, that person has a room dedicated. There are 15 screens.
And they
claim to know where Hunter Biden's laptop is.
That's a whole other topic that I'm debating whether or not we broach as far as what is the obsession with Hunter Biden?
Would you call it a laptopic? I'm the funniest person in this room right now.
You are. I would say you're on fire today. You got a lot of one-liners.
I've had some stabucks. And I think you start somewhere. You start city level. And if it goes through and then someone sues and say like, hey, the city has no, all right, where does it go from there? But people are guaranteed privacy from the government, yes. And I don't want to say that this is a Fourth Amendment issue, but I do believe that this is an issue that someone can take up.
Yeah, I agree. All right, well, we're going to take another break, and when we come back, would you buy the Goonies house if you had the money?
Yeah.
Yeah,
me too. Of course I would.
All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick with us.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts, and a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you, and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
It was a normal day.
He was in some minor accident, a fender bender.
And I had this impulse to call him, but I didn't, because I thought I could call him later that week.
He abandoned the car, he came home, and he shot himself without ever talking to anyone.
When I came home that night, and I found her, they told me that she had shot herself, and I couldn't believe it.
I asked if he was okay.
Taking a gun into your house for protection is a terrible myth.
Once you pull that trigger, that's it. There is no coming back.
65 Americans a day die by gun suicide. Store your gun securely, locked, unloaded, and away from ammunition. Help stop suicide. Learn more at infamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
On FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Well, the truth, well, it hurts to say, I'm gonna pack up my bag and I'm gonna go away. I'm gonna split, I can't stand it. I'm gonna give it up and quit and ain't never coming back. But before I keep it going, I got
to. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Reminder that we love hearing from you. If you have an idea for a topic or a guest, or you have feedback,
unsolicited praise.
Yes, we love that.
From the 262, great job every day, Kristen and Jane. You guys need a billboard.
I would love to have a billboard.
I'm sorry.
What? And Greg.
No, they didn't say me. I don't want your pity. Hey, 262, I'm part of this too on Wednesdays.
Thank you, 262. We love that.
I came up with tall potatoes.
Tall potatoes. 844-967-2789. Or you can shoot us an email at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us.
I do agree you need a billboard.
I feel like if we got a billboard, I would hire you to write the pun to make it funny.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be good at that.
Yep.
All right, so...
You just expect me to do something right there and then?
No, so maybe kind of. Yeah. You let me down a little bit. Remember last year when we found out that on Airbnb you can rent the Home Alone house?
Yeah.
Or you can like stay in the Home Alone house, and I forgot how much it cost. But I remember that was, I think, last year around Christmas time. There was big news. Well, now there is a fan who has bought the Goonies house.
Which one? There are several houses.
This is in Astoria. Hey, you guys. We talk about Annie DeFranco being influential in my teenage years from music.
Yeah.
Goonies was probably one of my favorite movies as a kid.
I saw the movie in the theaters. Like that was. I feel like it was important for me to see it in the theaters at that age. Because I was that age.
You were their age as far as the kids.
I was around that age. I mean, maybe a couple of years younger, but still I had that, like, we rode our bikes till all hours of the day, just all over the place. We had no plan. We just rode our bikes. We played.
You knocked
on someone's door. And you're like,
did
hey,
you ever have a treasure hunt?
Probably to.
Did
probably,
you ever find a hidden pirate ship?
We just found Playboys in the woods.
Barry?
Not Barry. They're right there.
They're right there.
Yeah.
Did you take them?
Of course we did.
Someone was very disappointed when they came back for their Playboys.
Where's my woods porn?
All right. So the Victorian era home in Astoria, which is also known as the Goonies house.
Okay.
And someone's bought it. And so they basically bought it in order to protect it and not have it be torn down or changed. But they wanted to keep it in the essence of what that movie was. And it was listed for $1.65 million.
I was just going to say, how much was that house?
And an offer was accepted 6 days later. And I don't have that kind of money. But if you're that big of a fan, kudos to you to spend that to preserve
that's
history.
Amazing. Whomever it is out there who did that, God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you.
But yeah, certly that movie to me is, what do you think it is about that movie that makes it so timeless?
A sense of adventure, a sense of friendship, fighting bullies. I mean, I'm forgetting their last names now. But the mom and the two brothers, they were bullies, especially towards Sloth.
Sloth.
You know, that love, that, you know, unconditional love, chosen family. Like, it really does have, it does have a lot of great themes in that film. And what sucks, the only thing that sucks about that movie, I will say this, the only thing that sucks about that movie is that unless you saw it young, it doesn't have the same impact, which can be said a lot about a lot of films. But I remember a friend of mine seeing it, and she was in, at the time, her like mid to late 30s. And she's like, I saw Goonies for the first time. I'm like, what do you think? She goes, it's fine. I'm like, yeah, of course you think it's fine, because you are at this age now. You didn't have a Goonies t-shirt and a Goonies poster. I saw it at least once in the theaters, if not more. Fratelli's, that was it, the Fratelli family. Mm-hmm. And so I think the thing that, you know, and it's a pure story. There's not all those people in the movie, all the protagonists are pure of heart. They're loving, they're family based. Even though they rank on each other, they still care about each other. And it's, like I said, a sense of adventure, a modern day pirate's tale, if you will. I mean, it's just a beautiful movie, and it's just got great lines in it too.
It does have some great lines in it.
And I challenge any person to watch that movie at the very end when Chunk says to Sloth, I'm going to take you home with me. You're part of my family because I love you. And he says, I love you, Chunk. Oh my God.
What's funny about this is a couple of weeks ago, Mike and I were joking that for Halloween this year, especially if I'm pregnant, I'm going as Chunk.
Do the truffle shuffle.
Do the truffle
Come
shuffle.
Come on.
Do it. Have you seen Goonies, Jane?
Never saw it.
See, this is a good test. We could have Jane watch Goonies and see if you find it to be magical.
Yeah.
I'll check it out.
You should
Please
check
do
it out.
It.
I will.
We should report back. As
right.
You watch Goonies, and as an adult, if you like it or if you go, meh, it's fine. Because I think we did that exact same experiment with my both. My mom had a theme night for the holidays, and an ex-boyfriend was there, and he had not seen it as an adult. And he, I don't think, was very impressed.
Yeah, but I get that. You know, I mean, I saw Top Gun for the first time about 10 years ago. It was fine. I saw Jurassic Park 3 years ago.
Did you see the new one?
No, I haven't seen it yet. I'm going to watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Pretty good. It's better than the first one.
I didn't see Jurassic Park until 3 years ago, and I'm like, it's fine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break.
I'm going to keep thinking about Billboard.
Think of a Billboard pun.
I feel like I let you down now.
No, you got it. You got it.
Oh, my God.
Noodle on it.
Now I'm in my head. Thanks a lot.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane power generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org.
This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now for your crew to tease at 844-967-2789.
I thought they were Crudy Takes.
Crudy's Takes. See, man? It all comes back around to Sports Talk Live.
Something like that.
My wife wants some vegetables for crudité.
You know what I mean?
Listen Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. for the Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. No one was moving, no one was there. The septic had backed up, there was yuck everywhere. It wasn't a good thing, no, not at all, to have that smell linger through bathroom and hall. Mom was left crying, the kids plugged their noses. Dad tried to fix it with buckets and hoses. But then came the answer for everyone there. They called Crockett Septic in their time of despair. Crockett Septic came running with the help that they needed. The family was saved, the problem was treated. Crockett Septic had fixed it, the problem was gone. No smell in the house, no leak on the lawn. And now there's no reason for the family to cry. Even the Crockett Septic truck smelled like sweet cherry pie. They jumped in their honey wagon and drove out of sight with a Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night.
Crockett Septic can handle all your septic, holding tank, and porta potty needs. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. That's 712-3456. Merry Christmas from everyone at Crockett Septic.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage. And I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
No one ever made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game, join the conversation with WFHR's Playmakers. Call in Monday mornings from 10:06 to 11 with your sports thoughts. And Tuesday through Friday, listen in while we talk with some of the most insightful, intriguing people in Morning Magazine. Talk radio that speaks to you. Get in the game, join the conversation at 10:06 Mondays with Playmakers. And Tuesday through Friday, Morning Magazine on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Clark County Forestry and Parks Department has announced that beginning on Wednesday, December 15th, all snowmobile and ATV trails located within Clark County public lands will remain closed until favorable winter riding conditions have been reached. They will monitor temperatures and conditions and update the public as conditions change. Reminder that UTVs are not allowed on Clark County public lands trail system from November 1st through May 14th. Feeding our communities with United Services, Focus, Neighborhood Meals has moved to their new location at 2321 West Grand Avenue, and all three services are now located under the same roof. The Focus Food Pantry and Focus Family Backpacks moved earlier this year. The meal program, formerly known as the Neighborhood Table, will serve their first two Thursday meals of December as to-goes, and beginning December 15th, meals will be served in-house. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance of scattered snow showers this afternoon, otherwise sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Highs around 32, northerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Lows around 15, tonight mainly clear skies. Overcast skies, tomorrow high temperatures reach up to 36. About an inch of snow tomorrow night through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 32.
Lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to it as a podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com or wherever you find podcasts. And you can always join the conversation, 844-967-2789. And I'm so excited about our next guest because this is a program that Jane and I only found out about last week on air because we had Jen Dunn, who is the director of the Waukesha's District Attorney's Victim Witness Program, and the star of that program in the district attorney's office here in Waukesha is Pepper the dog. And Pepper is a dog who has been trained to help victims of PTSD. And what we found out in that conversation is that the program that Pepper came from is called, is from Journey Together Service Dogs. And it is a program that happens, one of the many parts of it happens at the Oshkosh Correctional Facility. And so we reached out to Brenda Cercioni. Did I say that right?
Got it right.
Who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. So welcome to the show, Brenda. We're so excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And so did I get that correct? Because I think when I was looking at the website, so there's part of the program that is in the prison, but it's also Journey Together Dogs is a larger training program and that is exists both in the prison and outside of it.
Yes, you're right. So the dogs, when they live at the Oshkosh prison, can't get enough exposure to things that would be needed for a service dog. So we have about 50 community volunteers that take the dogs out, give them exposure. Some of the dogs go to people's homes. Sometimes I take a dog and I take it to the grocery store. I take it to Lowe's or Menards or Walmart. They get rides in the car. They learn how to go through a car and a car wash. Pretty much anything you can think of that the average person would do that we want a service dog to be able to tolerate. The inmates at the Oshkosh prison, they spend their time training the dog, teaching it skills, and then our community volunteers are taking those skills on the road and testing them out to see how they do. So our volunteers do anywhere from a couple hours to a week or more that they take a dog and do different things with it. Other examples would be there's no squirrels in the prison. We don't have geese at the prison.
Yeah.
It's never completely dark. So the dogs don't learn how to just go for a walk in the dark. Because
that's so interesting.
Wow. Gosh, I didn't think, about that stuff.
Yeah. And so how long is the partnership with the Oshkosh Correctional Facility? How long has that been going on?
Journey Together was founded in 2015, but we've had a service dog program at the Oshkosh Correctional Institution since 2012. So we've had service dogs and training there. We started out working with a different organization for guide dogs. And I say we because I've been with the program for the full 10 years. Part of the way through, we figured out that we had more capacity, more inmates were interested in participating in the program than the guide dog school was going to be able to put at our institution. So we created the sister program. Over time, our program grew. The guide dog school moved themselves to a different prison in the state of Wisconsin. So we just grew and we filled up all of the spots. We currently have about 12 to 14 dogs. Our capacity is 16 right now. And then we have 43 inmates that are participating in the program, either as primary handlers or we call them sitters, so that when the primary handlers aren't available, the sitters take the dogs. So the dogs are learning to work for a lot of different people. Over time, as our primary handlers graduate out of the program, maybe get moved to a different institution or get released, the sitters become primary and we have new people that come in.
And so how did this... Because it sounds, once I heard about it, I think both Jane and I go, and especially how Jen talked about it as far as the people who are in prison and the part of their rehabilitation is training these dogs that then go on to often work with either, you know, people who have PTSD, which is sometimes I think we hear a lot of that with veterans, but also people who were victims of crimes. And was that intentional as far as even for the inmates, like their healing journey and knowing where these dogs will, who these dogs will end up helping? Or what was kind of the origin of why it was important to have this be a program that was available for inmates?
So we've seen incredible dedication. Journey does not pay the inmates. The inmates are considered volunteers for the program. So they sign up, they're donating their time. They have to attend training classes. They work with the dogs in between. They're incredibly dedicated to the dogs. What we found in other states across the country, the recidivism rate goes down for people that have participated in a dog training program.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool.
Our focus is to try to help them gain job skills. So when they leave the program, they may not handle dogs, but they will have learned how to do goal setting. They will have had opportunities to create training plans. They've worked with each other to train new people that have come into the program. So those are adult education skills as much as they are dog training skills. To get into the program, they fill out a written application, they go through an interview process, they go through an onboarding process, and then all steps through the program, they're writing reports on the dogs. If a dog is having a training challenge, they'll sit down and they'll build a train, they'll write up a training plan on how they're going to address the dog's challenges. So our goal is for them to have opportunities to practice skills that will help them. We talk about training at the prison is a team sport. It's not just about one person and one dog. So interpersonal communications, giving and receiving feedback, all key elements to what we're trying to accomplish with the dogs.
It just sounds so incredible. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She's responsible for training inmates, clients, and for dog selection within that program. And so when it comes to the actual, how long, I guess I've never actually answered this. So how many years does it take for a dog from being from a puppy to become a certified service dog?
So we will take dogs as young as 8 weeks old into the program.
Wow.
We can, we won't place them till they're about 2 years old. And it really isn't about how long it takes them to learn skills as much as it's how long it takes them to become mature. And we know what their personality is going to be like. So just like a human, you need an opportunity to grow up, and not every career is for everybody. It's true as dogs as well. If we take an adult dog, which on rare occasions we do, but if we take an adult dog, we can have the skills put in place in about 6 months. So
wow.
Our puppies take a lot longer. And in the general, if we weren't dealing with a prison program, we wouldn't have a dog trained up that fast. These dogs are training 6 days a week with some sort of training experience, you know, deliberate training experiences. But everybody's dog is training all of the time. Every time they're sitting next to you, every time you take them for a ride in the car or you put their leash on, it's all training. The dogs are learning all the time. The advantage I have is I have 43 people that are using the same commands, the same terminology, and the same expectations. So from a dog's perspective, it's a very consistent world, and they can learn a lot faster because of that.
Brenda, you mentioned how important it is for the inmates to develop skills that are going to help them when they get out and hopefully help prevent them from going back in. I'm wondering about the emotional healing of working with animals, because I always assume that for some inmates, they came from really broken places and are very broken people. And I'm curious about the emotional healing that they get out of this kind of program.
Yes, they will talk about how much the program means to them, how dedicated they are, how the dogs have helped them. Some of them have had family members die while they're incarcerated, and the dogs have helped them through those kinds of things. It's also kind of an interesting experience from the standpoint of every 3 months we rotate the dogs. So whatever dog you have, you can expect you're going to get a different one in 3 months. And everybody says, oh, that's so that they don't get so attached to the dog. And it's really not. The reason we do it is when a dog succeeds, I have a lot of people that have been involved in the training of that dog. And as a team, we have a dog success on it. Likewise, if a dog is having some sort of a behavior issue, or, you know, they're just not understanding something we're trying to teach it, by giving them different handlers, sometimes the people just approach it different. And just like humans don't all learn exactly the same way, that's true with the dogs too. And by rotating the dogs, I can find holes in the training. And then one team to the next team can work on helping, you know, fill the hole in with the proper behaviors and stuff. So rotations are a lot about giving up a dog, taking in another dog. And, you know, everybody who has a dog at home knows their dog is the best dog in the world. So now I have to give up the best dog in the world for a different dog. One of the other unique parts about our program is when a dog is ready to graduate, the person who's receiving the dog or the organization has the opportunity to come along with me into the prison and receive training from the inmates. So they have a chance to see where their dog is going to go, and they have a big hand in helping train the person how to handle the dog for the ultimate success. So while it's always bittersweet when a dog graduates because you're so proud that they're graduating, and at the same time, you hate to see them go, knowing where they're going, knowing the change that they're going to do in the world makes it a lot more worthwhile. At the same time, they're getting an opportunity to practice their education skills and communication skills and organization and planning and everything that goes into teaching any class anywhere.
I'm so happy Jen mentioned this. This is so incredible. And so for people who don't know, because I think, as you mentioned, there's guide dogs, there's service dogs. Is there a different classification of specially trained dogs that are fall outside of those two categories?
So people have a pet, right?
Yes.
They're a great dog, right? You can take them for a walk. There's certain stores that you might be able to take them in that are considered pet-friendly stores. Then another classification of a dog is a therapy dog, which my dogs are therapy dogs. So they're registered. I've gone through testing to demonstrate their skills. I can take them into a hospital or an assisted living location with permission of that organization, and we can go see elderly people. We can go see people in the hospital that are recovering from an illness, but they don't get to go to a grocery store. They don't get to go to a restaurant. Service dogs that are trained and they, under the Americans with Disabilities Act, have the rights that they can go to certain public locations. So they can go to a restaurant, they can go to the grocery store. Those are working dogs with a very specific intent. For example, Pepper, we started by raising her to be a service dog. And what we found is Pepper had this extra sparkle or this extra interest in people beyond the person holding the leash. As a result, she became a facility dog. The best, closest example to that is she's a therapy dog because she is given approval to go to certain places. She doesn't get to go to restaurants. She doesn't get to go to grocery stores where the average population might take a service dog. When you see a dog in public, when they're a service dog, no matter how much we all want to pet them, you don't want to be petting those dogs. Those dogs are working, and you take their attention away from their handler.
Yeah.
And that's what we want the dog to do.
Well, we're going to take a break, but Brenda's going to be here when we come back because I still have so many questions. I'm so fascinated and encouraged by this entire program. And also, maybe I'll have a couple questions of maybe how I can train my dog. Does an old dog, can they learn new tricks? We don't know, but I'll ask you when we come back. Our guest is Brenda Sercioni, who is the director of training for and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. She will be here with us when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack, but he was more than that. A playmate, a companion, he was love and understanding. That was Cracker Jack. The best friend that I ever had was Cracker Jack.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf.
What about the tiny dog? Cat. Aww. Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Yeah, whale sound.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay. Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we're achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. A progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
My dear, though I spend my days in conversation, please remember me.
Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network. Our guest this half hour is Brenda Cercioni, who is the director of training and one of the founders of Journey Together Service Dogs. And Greg, you had a question.
I had two questions. Okay. One, with regard to service animals, you were saying in the earlier segment that when, you know, as I know personally, you don't pet, you don't do anything. That's their job. They're working. When they get home with the parent, the dog parent, is it sort of like, can they play? Can they, you know, are they always on the job, or like when they get home in a safe surrounding, can the parent and the dog play around, wrestle, you know, throw catch, you know, like that kind of thing? Cause I only see service dogs in the terms of working, like they're straight ahead doing their job.
Yeah. When a dog is off duty, their vest comes off. It's kind of like a person when you come home from work, you change out of your work clothes and you change into your sweatpants or your sweatshirt or whatever you're going to do. And they get to be dogs.
Gotcha.
There's a few things that they won't get to do. For example, if you're eating supper at the dining room table, you're not going to feed them off of the table because you don't want them to think that when you go to a restaurant, they're going to sit and beg and eat off of a table. So they lose their right to beg at the table. they lose their rights to be on a lot of furniture, and they trade those rights for getting to be with their person pretty close to 24/7.
Gotcha. And the other question I had, and this comes from an experience I had at my other job where we had somebody with a service dog. At our work, this dog seemed very anxious, was running around. And then at one point someone said, can I pet the dog? It was wearing a service vest and said, can I pet your dog? And I was like, oh my God. And the guy's like, yeah, go ahead, pet the dog. I'm like, is this either a service vest that was bought online to get a dog into an establishment, or did he undo the training? Is that possible to undo the training of a service animal?
It's very much a thing about undoing training of a service animal. So different service dog schools have different requirements. And in the United States, you're also entitled to be able to train your own service dog. So different people have different skills. When you see somebody with a dog with a vest on, it's important to not make any assumptions about it. So I'm not, your example, I'll come back to you, but I just want to talk in general. Are people who are in a wheelchair that receive one of our service dogs are never challenged in public. Nobody ever says, is that a service dog or not? Because they see somebody with a dog and they're in a wheelchair and they make assumptions, or if they were obviously blind. People who have PTSD look like everybody else. They don't have any outward physical disability. Similarly, somebody who has diabetes and has a diabetic alert dog or a hearing dog may not look to us, like we, you know, they don't meet the standard of what we think a dog for somebody who with a disability should look like. So it's important not to judge it because you don't really know what's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act would say, though, that a dog in public has to be on, a service dog has to be on leash unless the task that it performs for you can't be done while it's on leash. So you should not see a dog off leash that's a service dog in a public setting under 99.9% of the cases. The rare exception would be a dog that's trained to clear a room for somebody with PTSD. So the person isn't comfortable going into a room unless the dog has gone through the room first. The dog can't do that if it's on leash. Journey does not allow our clients to have the dogs off leash for anything because we are concerned about the safety of the dog. And we believe that we can teach other skills to address wherever that need would be. Sometimes you're also dealing with young dogs. In the state of Wisconsin, the laws are such that a service dog in training has the same public access rights as a fully trained service dog. That's what allows me, as well as our community volunteers, to take the dogs into a restaurant. We don't happen to fit the definition of somebody who's disabled, but if we couldn't take the dogs in those places, we couldn't train them for it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So sometimes you're going to see a young dog. Sometimes you're going to see a dog that's just misbehaving. They are animals, and they can be once in a while rotten. And that's
it ended up throwing up at the place I worked.
Oh, gosh. What does demand look like right now for the service dogs? As far as, is there a wait list or is there an excess supply of ready to serve dogs?
We should be so lucky to have an excess list of ready to serve dogs. There's always a wait list. Journey does this a little bit different too. We don't do first come first serve. We do best fit.
Okay.
So if the person that's on the top of our list happens to be very athletic and they're a runner and very active. And
I feel like you're talking to me right now, Brenda. You're talking to me right now.
I was using you for my image. Yes. And our dog is more of a couch potato dog. That's the first one. We aren't going to do that match.
Yeah.
Some dogs adore kids. Some dogs are really neutral about kids. So if it's going to a family with kids, we want to think about that. Cats, other dogs in the house. But like I said, we don't do first come first serve because we don't feel like we're doing a service to the family or to the dog.
So final question, because we only have about 2 minutes left. I feel like there's so many more questions I have, but for people who have been moved by this segment and would like to either learn more or become a volunteer or donate, where could they learn more to support Journey Together?
We have a website, journeytogetherservicedog.org. You can also find us on Facebook. And I think I sent you a link. There's a TEDx, an Oshkosh TED Talk done by somebody talking about the Journey program and what it means to them to participate in the program. So that would be another way to learn about what we do.
Absolutely. And we'll link all of that to today's show blog, and we'll share everything on here because I think this is just incredible. And I will ask, can an old dog learn new tricks?
Absolutely.
Okay. How do I do that?
You're staying for the rest of the show.
In 40 seconds.
In 40 seconds, because Cliffy, he'll sit. He will not shake. He just, as a chihuahua, he just shakes his whole body when you say shake. So Brenda Cercioni, thank you so much. This was so fascinating. This is an incredible program. I would definitely suggest anyone who loves animals, learn more about this, support in the ways that you can, because you're doing both a service for the people who get the dogs and the people who are training the dogs. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Have a great day. All right, well, we're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You silly girl.
Martha, my dear, you have always been my inspiration. Please be good to me.
was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.